I've asked Jody to give us our scripture reading this morning. The scripture comes from the book of Acts. It's a long reading, so it's Acts chapter 10.
Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier, who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all.
I'm late. Can't you? Why is everybody always in the way? I'm late. Excuse me. I've always been late. I've had a hard week. Oh, let me tell you my name. My name's Cornelius. I don't know why my parents named me Cornelius. Who do you know that's Cornelius? When I was growing up, they called the kids, you know, at school, they called me Corny. So I changed my name to Neil. You can just call me Neil. I'm sorry, I'm a little sarcastic. I'm sorry I bumped into you. I've been kind of sarcastic all my life. My wife, if you knew my wife, she would say, she's got these little ditties, and she says, well, Neil, sarcasm, well, it's just hidden or frozen anger. She says something like, sarcasm causes scars. She says, but love gives life. Let me tell you about my week. My mom asked me if I would fly out for her birthday, so I went to the airport. And, you know, I kind of hesitate a lot. I use the word hesitate. My wife says I procrastinate. I know none of you probably procrastinate, but I like the word hesitate. I hesitate a lot. And I got to the airport late, you know, and the rental car people. Man, the rental car people, I don't even think they have an education. And why would you even want to work at a rental car company at the airport? They're so slow, and I was late. My wife says, if I wouldn't hesitate, I wouldn't be late. But, well, that morning I hesitated. And the rental car people, I think they should be a little more educated. That's what I think. But then, you know, I finally got through with these rental car people, and I got to the TSAs. I can't even understand them. I don't even think they talk English. Why can't they get someone that talks English and they mumble? My wife says that I'm a little sarcastic and that I prejudge people. Well, I finally, you know how humbling it is to take off your belt and take off your shoes and get your computer out and take all your change out of your pocket and then they stare at you? Well, I'm running late. Come on. And then of all times I'm at the airport, I live at the airports. I run through airports all the time. And the TSA agent says, well, I want to check your carry-on. What do I look like, a terrorist? Why can't he speak English? I finally get through the TSA agent and then, you know, have you ever tried to run? I'm running late for the airplane. And I'm trying to put my shoes on, put my belt on, put my computer back in my bag. And I don't know if you've ever been to the airport, but, you know, the planes start unloading, and here comes this old couple. And they're holding hands like they're on some kind of love stroll in the airport. What's the matter with them? I'm running through the airport, and they're just walking as slow as turtles. Can't they? I mean, if you want to take a love stroll, go do it somewhere else, but not at the airport. Don't you understand? People are in a hurry. Well, you know, I travel so much that I've got one of these really fancy ID things that gives me premier boarding. I really like that. You know, I mean, it makes me feel really important. But the problem was, I was so late. I was like the last one on the plane. And I And the flight attendant, the flight attendants, you know what they're doing? They're talking. They're talking, 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 talking. You know, if the flight attendants didn't talk so much, they would get a little work done. But all they do is talk. And I'm running late. And I get into the plane, and I look down the aisle, and, well, they're snapping up all the carry-on carriers. Like, I got premier boarding. And the only one is the last one at the end of the plane. And I got my carry-on. I finally make it down, and who greets me? Miss Talk-A-Lot. I got to admit, you know, my friends call me Neil the Name Maker. I make up names for people all the time. You know, Miss Talk-A-Lot. And she says, "Can I help you, sir?" And she takes my bag. And she lifts the bag into the carry-on. I was a little astonished. But, you know, I had to go back to the front of the plane. So I get to the front of the plane. Wouldn't you know it? I got this punk kid. I mean, he's a punk. I mean, he's dressed in black. He's got a hood over his head. He's got one of those nose rings, you know, and a tongue ring. And he's got earrings. And he's got tattoos. I got to sit by this punk. What are you doing? You know, I got to tell you that right before I got on the plane, my wife and I had a fight. Now, we had this knockdown drag out. If you're married, I know you probably don't have fights, but we were yelling at each other in the kitchen. Well, let me tell you, I was yelling in the kitchen. And she just real quietly got up and she went into the other room and she got this dictionary. And she said, "You know, Neil, you're really prejudiced." I said, "I'm not prejudiced. I like to give people names." You know, and I've got to be honest with you. I've gone from, you know, just calling someone a Democrat or a Republican or a conservative or liberal or pro-choice or pro-gay or black or white I've gone to some names I just can't repeat. And she says, "You're prejudiced." I said, "I'm not prejudiced." And then she reads me this definition of a prejudice right out of the dictionary. It says, I think it should be up there on the screen, a prejudice. I think it should be, if we can get it. Prejudice, it means to prejudge. Now, we're in the kitchen, and she's just reading me this dictionary, and she says, "Neil, you're prejudiced." I said, "No, I'm not. I just like to call people names." And she says, "You're prejudiced." And then she starts to, she's so quiet. She's just so calm, and she's just reading this. It means to prejudge. Prejudice is a judgment or opinion formed before the facts are known. Huh. And it means it's a preconceived idea that is usually unfavorable. And she looked at me, and she smiled. She closed her book, and she walked out. She went upstairs. I thought I won. I was running late. You know, see, she says I procrastinate. I say I hesitate. I don't know if you hesitate, but she says that I shouldn't prejudge. So let me get back. I finally made it to my mom's house for her birthday. And God love my mom. She wanted to take me to church. I don't need church. Who needs church? I don't need church. I can find my relationship with God on the golf course. I don't need to go to church. But, you know, it's my mom's birthday, and she says, you know, Neil, why don't you come to church with us? So I said, okay. You know, we got to church, and here's all these goody two-shoes. You know, oh, sorry, here I go again. All these goody two-shoes, and they're, you know, happy, clappy, and they're like hugging people. And she's taken me around, and she's introducing me to people, and it was strange that they were so happy. And so we finally got into the pew, and I didn't know what to do. So I watched my mom. When she stood up, I stood up. When she sat down, I sat down. When she looked at her bulletin program, I tried to follow the players. I didn't know what was going on. You see, I don't go to church. And we were sitting in the pew, and this, you know, this fancy preacher dude guy, I don't know what his name was, he started reading a story about Cornelius and Peter. I about fell out of the pew. I mean, how many people have you met named Cornelius? And he started talking about Cornelius and Peter and how you need to confront your ungodly prejudices. I it was like I couldn't believe what he was saying. He said something like, "Get up. Get up. And go down and go out and confront your ungodly prejudices." He said, "Don't hesitate." Like, it was like piercing my heart. I thought I was being set up. I'm sure my wife probably called that preacher dude, or my mom said something to the preacher guy, or you know, maybe my coworkers. I don't know. But how could he know what I was struggling with? That I was prejudging everybody. Now, I know you probably, you know, probably don't have that problem of prejudging. But he said something like, get up, go down, go out, confront your ungodly prejudices. But he said, don't hesitate. Don't be late. He said, don't prejudge. Don't prejudge. Pre-accept. Don't prejudge, pre-accept. I think I wrote him down up here. He said, don't exclude, include. He said, don't prejudge, pre-accept. Don't label, love. He's some preacher dude that always says, so what? So what? And I wrote it down. On that little bulletin. I wrote those things down because it really hit me about my week. I mean, just earlier in the week, my wife read me the dictionary and she said, you're prejudiced. You prejudge everyone. You prejudge them by their skin color. You prejudge them by their looks. You prejudge them by their education. You prejudge them if you think they're wealthy or not. She says, Neil, you gotta stop judging people. That preacher dude, he was doing this series on vision, and I think he thought he was really cute saying it was 2020 vision, and then it was 2020. And he says, but Then I think he was some kind of police officer or truck driver or fire ambulance driver, because he says, "What's your 10-20? What's your 10-20? Well, if you know the old handle of truck driving and CB talking, your 10-20 is what's your location." And then he reread Acts 10:20. I wrote it down. He reread that, Acts 20:20. And he says, "God's going to call you to get up and go down and go out and confront your ungodly prejudices." Wow. Well, I got up that day and I got on the plane and headed home to see my wife. You see, I've spent a lot of my life hesitating and being late. I know you probably don't have that problem. I've spent a lot of my life prejudging, but I want to stop. You know, I don't want to be Neil the name caller anymore. I want to be considerate and caring Cornelius. You know what that pastor dude said? He says, "What you need to do is take all your baggage, all the things that you're carrying, and bring it to the cross." So that's why I'm here today. I'm sorry to interrupt your luncheon, but he said, "Take everything that's been holding you back." He said, "Don't hesitate. Don't be late. Confront your ungodly prejudices and take them." He says, "Take them to the cross." And he said, "Pray and ask God to take those prejudices, those judgments, those labels, the sarcasm, and leave it with Jesus." Well, I did that day. I'll never forget it. You know, they were singing some song at that church, and I don't really know church songs, but it was, it's been in my mind this whole time that I've been traveling home, and every time I hear it, it just kind of brings tears to my eyes, because it's like, "We are one in the Spirit. We are one." You wouldn't want me to sing it, but it's, "We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. They'll know," he says, "they'll know we are Christians by our love." He said, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Let's have a prayer for our meal, and then we'll have a blessing, a benediction. Lord Jesus, we pray for our meal that's been prepared, the hands that have prepared it, for our time of